From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A new study has found that undocumented immigrants living near the border between California and Mexico are suffering from very high rates of trauma. The psychology study was conducted using the Harvard Trauma Questionnaire and found that more than 80% of the population in question had a, quote, lifetime history of traumatic events. Those traumas arose from being a victim of or a witness to violence and also living in deep poverty. Of the hundreds of people surveyed, a majority were women undocumented immigrants, many of whom were survivors of domestic violence. My guest is Luz Garcini. She's a postdoctoral research fellow in the Department of Psychology at Rice University and the lead author of the study, One Scar, Too Many: The Associations Between Traumatic Events and Psychological Distress Among Undocumented Mexican Immigrants. Welcome to the program, Luz.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. So why did you conduct the study? What led you towards wanting to uncover this issue of trauma, not just among undocumented immigrants, but specifically Mexican undocumented immigrants living in a specific place near the California-Mexico border?
Correct. Absolutely. Well, primarily, you know, we see that we have a lot of stories and qualitative research documented the extent of trauma and the consequences of it. However, as I was doing my research and I conducted a very extensive literature review, as well as a lot of key informant interviews, I realized that we lacked the numbers. And as you probably know, statistics is a lot of the force that moves politics and economics. So that's when I decided to embrace in the first study to really gather the numbers to reflect the amount of trauma and distress experienced in this population.
Now, the study was conducted in person. You basically approached individuals and had them fill out this Harvard trauma survey that I mentioned?
Right. Well, actually, it was more in-depth. We actually conducted in-person clinical interviews. Each clinical interview lasted about 4 hours. And wow. I had the opportunity to conduct it on both sides of the border, actually. The study that you have only reflects the interviews that were done on this side of the border, but I also conducted studies with actual deportees in Tijuana, Mexico, who were at migrant shelters. So indeed, yes, there were in-person interviews, and we had to do a lot of modifications to the Harvard Trauma Questionnaire to make it culture and context sensitive in the way we administer it.
I see.
And we tailored the version, we tailored the language so that they could understand what it was about and what we were asking.
Now, you conducted this between the California-Mexico border, but you don't actually name the city where this was done. Why?
Correct. Well, it's to protect the confidentiality of our participants. We prefer not to disclose the area, but I can tell you that it was in North San Diego County, in an area that has been identified a high-risk area due to a lot of legal actions, again, undocumented immigrants and policies that are in place in the area.
And of course, we'll get right into that. Let's talk about the results of what you found. You talked to, let's even get through first the demographics of the people that you spoke to. I mentioned a majority were women. So how many people did you talk to? How many were women?
Correct. Well, one of the things about this study is that we conducted the actual interviews with 257 undocumented immigrants, 248 who were of Mexican origin.
I see.
However, because of the methodology that we used, it allows us to draw from population-based estimates for approximately 22,000 undocumented immigrants. So that's what makes it more significant, actually. So the majority were women. I believe it was about 70% versus 30%, and that's just the nature of the research in itself and the schedule in the population, even though we try to accommodate the interviews at any time and day of the week. So
so what did you find? I mentioned more than 80% trauma. I mean, that's incredibly high. That's hard to imagine.
Absolutely. And one thing that is important to emphasize is that this by no means means assessing recurring trauma. So we only counted if the trauma event happened once.
I see.
But there were many cases in where, for example, women had experienced rape way more than than once. So you can imagine, you know, how the numbers are even more dramatic than what we captured.
And so there's obviously many variations, I'm sure, between people's experiences, but is there a way to compare that to the general population? I mean, most of us experience some traumas in our lives, over the course of our lives. It's hard to live trauma-free. But this particular rate of incidence of trauma that you found, how does it compare to the general population?
I think it's very hard to compare it because of differences in measures in which the data has been gathered. When we look at some of the data that we have on refugee populations and the trauma that it relates when it happened in their countries of origin, it is somewhat similar to them, and I guess that's the best estimate as to the population that it compares to in terms of immigrant populations. However, one of the unique things about this study, and we're working on a paper, it's not reflected in this current paper, is we have the place of where most of the trauma occurred. And one of the things that we find is, ironically, most of the trauma has happened while these immigrants are living in the United States versus when it happens during transition or when it happens from the country of origin, which is pretty surprising.
Interesting. Now, what about the presence of Border Patrol agents, and in general sort of federal agents, in this particular place that you conducted the survey in North San Diego County? I imagine there is a constant presence of Border Patrol. How much of the trauma that you documented was linked to the sense of immigrants, particularly under Trump's America, feeling hunted?
Well, we have to consider one thing that is important to note is that this data was gathered prior to the current administration.
Sure.
So we cannot make
right. It takes time to, you're right. The study is published now, but of course you probably have been doing this for a few years.
Correct. And we're currently working on reproducing the study actually to kind of compare it now that the climate has changed. But the particularly area in which the study was conducted has a history in which ICE or immigration police has merged with local police in the city to attend calls, for example, of domestic violence. So at any point, if an undocumented immigrant were to denounce domestic violence, they're at risk for having an ICE agent show up at the door and request documentation, which is kind of preventing them in terms of denouncing the crimes and the trauma events that
are happening. And this is the very reason why there are many police departments around the country that don't want to cooperate with ICE, because it actually hampers public safety when people are afraid of being deported for simply reporting a crime.
Correct. I believe it's a human rights issue in terms of trying to protect them so that when things like this happen, they have at least an avenue to seek help.
So what did you, you mentioned earlier that this is a study that can be applied to the entire country. Explain that a little bit more. When you looked at a specific case near the California, Mexico border, how can you apply the results of this study to undocumented immigrants nationwide?
Well, I think we cannot necessarily say that because this is a localized study. We can definitely, we're working on efforts to try to gather data at different sites. However, we can say because of the characteristics of the laws that are in place in the city in which it happens, we can imagine that at least at this level, the estimates might be somewhat similar.
So is there also a sense that you got from the interviews that you conducted that the impacts of violence in this particular community were linked to how people are perceived as well by non-immigrants? We, you know, immigrants live all around us, undocumented immigrants live all around us, but in this sort of heightened arena of anti-immigrant rhetoric, and also just even under the Obama administration, there was plenty of fear among undocumented communities. Did any trauma stem from how people are perceived as immigrants?
Well, I think one thing that I would like to emphasize and that I have learned about this community is that an amazingly resilient community. So if you notice in that paper, we mentioned how even though more than 80% of the immigrants experience trauma, when you look at its association with psychological distress, almost half of them develop clinically significant psychological distress. So half of them are living perfectly normal lives and moving on with their trauma. That's not to say that it may have not caused scars, and that's why the need of prevention programs need to happen. But definitely it's a very strong population. And I believe another thing that was very interesting is in the previous manuscript that we did, we noticed that the incidence of post-traumatic stress disorder, I don't know if you're familiar with that diagnosis, but was very low in this population. And as I was going through the clinical data, I found that, what might be happening is that trauma-related symptoms might present very differently in this population when we compare it to the populations that the original diagnosis for post-traumatic stress disorder were intended to be.
Interesting. I mean, could that be related to community ties and having a greater support structure, or are we talking about cultural differences?
I think it's probably a part of both. I think it's definitely a part of culture and how we manifest symptoms of distress. I also think that it's important to consider, based on the healthy immigrant paradox, right, which kind of emphasizes how only the healthiest of the healthiest immigrants tend to migrate, just because the journey in itself is very taxing on the system. So that in itself, we probably tend to get a very strong immigrant population that is pretty resilient and can take a lot of stress. But it's important to emphasize that they living under this chronic stress for a long time can eventually break down your system.
And of course, this is also a community that doesn't have the same kind of access to mental health care as citizens do. And I'm wondering if you can address that. But also, before we run out of time, I want to ask you about the impacts of poverty and how poverty can also cause trauma.
Yes, absolutely. We, you know, as you could see in the manuscript, there was a high degree of material deprivation in terms of trauma related, right? So if we talk about basic needs, you know, when your need for food and shelter is put on the table and you have to wonder every day if you'll be able to meet your basic needs, it's very difficult not to be distressed about that. So absolutely.
And then the lack of access to mental health care was also, of course, linked to poverty, but linked also to residential and citizen status.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. That is a big problem that we have, and we need more efforts. I have to say the faith-based communities are leading the way, and I think we need to learn a lot about these community-based efforts are doing for the community. Also, it is important to emphasize the safety net providers are, at least in emergency situations, an outreach for these populations. And unfortunately, under the current administration, the safety net providers are being put at risk. So if that happens, you can imagine that even the limited access that they have might be gone.
What are your follow-up studies that you're planning on doing? Are you going to include it eventually the stories that you collected on the other side of the border, particularly of recent deportees?
Yes. Well, we have several, many, many studies going on, but one of them will be actually to merge the data with the actual deportees on the other side of the border and explore this stress by deportation status, including undocumented immigrants that are on this side of the border who have a history of deportation and those who don't, and see, you know, what the mental health profiles of these immigrants look like. And another one that we have is, as you probably know, with the current termination of DACA, this is creating a lot of stress among the emerging adults. So we're actually, in collaboration with Dr. Fagundes here at Rice University, we're trying to conduct a study to actually assess how this stress gets under the skin. So trying to collect biological markers.
Wow.
To actually see how the distress is associated to physiological processes that are linked to cardiovascular and cancer risk.
Right, and there's also fields of studies that show how some of these traumas can then actually be passed on to future generations. Big field, a lot of rich study there, and certainly a population that needs to be studied further given all of the political climate that we're living in today. Luz, thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much for your time and your interest.
My guest is Luz Garcini, postdoctoral research fellow at the Department of Psychology at Rice University. We've been discussing the recent study she authored, One Scar Too Many, the Associations Between Traumatic Events and Psychological Distress Among Undocumented Mexican Immigrants. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.